Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Derrick, member of the 12th Apostolic Church of the Trinity Foundation, on top of 12th Hour Living Hill, Texas. Today is September 9, 2017, or it is Hebrew 19, 2021. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled Lean on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting hand. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting hand. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alone. The little track number 9 of Vicki Harleth, and the title, The Heavens Need to Be Renewed. So not only are we to restore all things, but the heavens must be renewed as well. Now when it says heavens, there's more than one heaven, and let's read on and learn more about it. It says, each one of the planets in our solar system being surrounded by its own firmament or heaven, there are consequently as many heavens firmament as there are planets in the system. To these planetary heavens apply the following scriptures. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, Jeremiah 4:28. And all the hosts of the heavens shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree, Isaiah 34:4. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. Now I'm going to reread that last two paragraphs again and make a comment on it. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black, Jeremiah 4:28. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. That says all the host of heaven. Now that's all those stars. Everything you see there in the heaven. They're the host of heaven. That means more than one star in each heaven. Okay. Shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down. Now the falling of the stars in 1833. That was one of the three signs that was given by the prophecies in these last days that had to happen before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. The moon would turn to blood, and the sun would be darkened, and the stars would fall from heaven. Starting on May the 19th, 1780, started the dark sun and the bloody moon. 1833, the stars fell from heaven. And they put on a display that looked like the whole, it says the whole host of heaven. Was it just one of the gigantic fireworks? That was a sign that when he makes all things new, that all of those hosts of heaven are literally going to melt and be dissolved and pass away. As a leaf falls off from the vine, and as a fallen fig from the fig tree, Isaiah 34:4. But the day of the Yeshua will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. Now, isn't this amazing? It always says he will never again destroy the earth by the water. He put his bow in the cloud as a token of the covenant that he had made with Noah, that he would never again destroy this earth by a flood, but he would destroy it by fire. We have every evidence in the world. There's going to be some destruction by fire, and especially that lake of fire that we find in Revelation 19:20. For the beast and the false prophets and those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast will be cast in the lake of fire all of them together at one time. Before the close of probation, or maybe right at the close of probation, but it's still right here in this 12th hour. Because probation actually closes, and then you have 15 months of the plagues after probation closes. That's part of this 12th parabolic hour. And a great earth noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Psalms 102:26. So it says, right, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. So all of those planets, all of those starry hosts, the hosts of heaven, is going to wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. So David explains here in Psalms 102:26, he says, For the Yahweh, there's nothing for him to change all of that. All he's got to do is speak. It's just like a person changing his clothing from one to another. He takes off one and he puts on a new one. All right, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain, Isaiah 6:22. Now, if those hosts of heaven, if the new heavens and the new earth don't remain before him as a promise that he will, then we come to our end. We don't have no new home to go to, because that's going to be our new home. This new heavens and new earth is going to be our new home. And if we don't inherit salvation, then we come to our end right here too, right along with the rest of the earth. So there you have it. It says, so long as they remain before you, then your seed shall remain as well. Because your seed was created on this earth, and if this earth had not fallen into sin, you would remain right here on this earth forever. So, you overcome sin, you inherit the new earth and the new and everything new. The new heavens, as a result of sin on the earth causing all creation to groan, Romans 8:22, the whole sort of family has suffered. For the foregoing scriptures show that not only the earth, but also the heavens have waxed old. Under the curse of sin, that sin is a contagious disease with far-reaching results. That whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12:26. That Yahweh is to make an absolute riddance of sin, and consequently that he will make void not only the earth, but also the entire solar system, and that while making the earth new, he will make new the solar system also. What do you imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Nahum 1:9. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21:5. Behold, it says, further speaking in the view of the day that he will execute an utter end, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, Malachi 4:5. Hence Yeshua's words, Elijah truly shall first come and shall restore all things. Matthew 17:11. Though lost through sin. Now this is amazing. This man, Elijah, he's got to come and restore all things. So now, as man was put in charge of this earth in a sinless state in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and they started the operation of this earth, so likewise man is also going to restore this earth that he caused to fall into deterioration and sin and decay. Now man is going to be responsible for restoring it, but he has to come back to the Garden of Eden state of perfection and holiness and righteousness. And when he does that, then he's given the responsibility to restore this earth, to fulfill the promises. That behold, I make all things new, and who's he saying behold to? He's saying behold not only to the righteous, but he's saying behold to the wicked. Behold means to pay attention, look, observe before your eyes. Behold means to observe what's going on before your very eyes, and see the restoration of this earth right before your eyes. This earth that the wicked are in the process. Says of trying to destroy it completely, he tells them, you behold and see what my righteous people are going to do. They're going to restore this. But you know, before the earth can be restored, though, those wicked that are observing and seeing it, they're going to be destroyed as the earth is restored. Step by step, they're going to be restored, destroyed as the earth is restored. Though lost through sin, all created in the beginning will be restored. In the time of the restitution of all things, which Yahweh has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began, Acts 3:21. Having created the sea before the beginning of sin, then to do away with it after the extinction of sin, as some teach that he is to do, would certainly not be his restoring all things, but rather his doing away with them, and would imply that in the beginning he made a mistake in the creating of the sea, thus belying his pronouncement that it was good, Genesis 1:10. Since moreover the serpent, not the sea, caused Adam and Eve to sin, Genesis 3:1-7, And since the serpent is to be in the kingdom restored, Isaiah 65:25, why then should Yahweh do away with the seed? For Yahweh is jealous, declares the prophet Nahum in his vision of the time of the end. And the Yahweh revenges. The Yahweh revenges and is furious. The Yahweh will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. For the Yahshua, this is talking about Yahshua. Let's read that again. For the Yahshua is jealous, because he's coming and taking the reins in his own hands. He's the one that's confronting his enemies, like he did 2,000 years ago. Yahshua is jealous, declares the prophet Nahum in his vision of the time of the end. And the Yahshua revenges. The Yahshua revenges and is furious, for the Yahshua will take vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserves wrath for his enemies. For the Yahshua is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. For the Yahshua hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and remaketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languishes in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. And the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Yahshua is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Nahum 1:2-9. I saw, says John the Revelator, likewise, after beholding the desolation of the earth, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21:1. When was there no more sea? When the first heaven and the first earth passed away. The scripture does not say that there shall not be any more sea and the earth made new. It simply says that there was no more sea. While the heaven and the earth were in the removed state, passed away. In other words, the first part of the verse envisages a new heaven and a new earth, whereas the last part foretells of no more sea before the new heaven and the new earth are made. Thus, on the absolute finality of his own word, the Yahshua is to bring all things to an end, even to the drying up of the rivers and of the seas, while he is making clear riddance of sin. Since along with our heaven and earth, therefore, our whole solar system is to pass away. Not only the saints from the earth, then, but with them also the sons of Yahweh from the whole system shall live and reign with Yahshua in the heaven of heavens for 1,000 years. Oh, what a privilege. What an opportunity, what a gathering that will be. I have seen the tender love that the Yahweh has for his people, and it is very great. Heaven is a good place. I long to be there, and behold my lovely Yahshua, who gave his life for me, and be changed into his glorious image. Oh, for language to express the glory of the bright world to come, I thirst for the living streams that make glad the city of Elohim, early writings, page 39. This most glorious reward impels one to study further to know the truth. For the revelation, the unfolding of the prophecies, therefore, one is led for an examination of the important millennial events. Let us give undivided attention unto the scriptures which record the things that are to take place just before the 1,000 years begin, the things which will bring about the millennial age of peace as revealed unto John. I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. Revelation 19:11-13:16. Here Messiah reveals himself not as a priest or as a lamb, but as a King of Kings, treading the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. Verse 15, this is his slaying of the wicked. The angel standing in the sun cries with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with the brimstone. And the remnant, the kings and captains, and the mighty men, and the horses, and them that sit on them, and all men both free and bond, both small and great, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:17-21. A final word from which it is ready is seen that the wicked are slain just before the millennium. Since after the millennium, the wicked are not slain and their flesh is not eaten by the fowls, but rather destroyed with the fire. Revelation 20 verse 9. Revelation 19:17-21 is seen to refer to a premillennial destruction. Decisively, therefore, the King of Kings is to slay. This is Yahshua. Just before the millennium, all except the righteous, except those who get the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, Revelation 15:2. Then shall the righteous dead be raised, for as the wicked dead remain in their graves, and along with the wicked living, all of whom are then slain by the Yahshua, live not again until the 1,000 years are finished, Revelation 20 verse 5. Since moreover at the commencement of the millennium, when the wicked are slain, the heaven and the earth pass away, then as a result, the saints remove to another sphere. As the Revelation says that they lived and reigned with Yahshua 1,000 years, Revelation 20 verse 4. Yahshua does not therefore live with them on the earth, but rather they live with him in the place which he prepared for them, and of which John says, after seeing the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and replaced with a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1, and I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, Revelation 21:2. For the wicked being then hid in their graves, and the righteous being gone to live with Yahshua, hence Satan is left alone, wandering in the earth until the resurrection of the wicked, Revelation 20:13. Satan is confined until 1,000 years of the solitary. Bound by this chain of circumstances, he is unable to deceive the nation, verse 3. Till the dead who lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished arise to life following the judgment during the millennium. If an earthly judge does not convict and condemn a criminal without benefit of the trial by jury, certainly then the all-just Yahweh of heaven will not. He will not pass final sentence upon the wicked, convicting them of sin and condemning them to die the second death, Revelation 20:14, until after he has given the saints, the jury, the opportunity to witness for themselves the judgment of the wicked. The husbands, wives, children, relatives, friends, and acquaintances then listen from the mansions above and to examine their records, which show why they are not there, but instead are moldering in their graves below. That no excuse be left to anyone for ignorance or error on this truth, John was shown not only the great white throne on which sits the Judge Eternal, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, verse 11, but also other thrones or seats on which evidently sit the jury. And instead of only 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, Revelation 5:11, of angels as witnesses he saw present on this occasion also, the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua, and for the word of Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with the Yahshua 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection, verses 4 and 5. The fact, though, that the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, verse 5 shows that those present before the throne were resurrected. But the dead, small and great, who did not rise in the first resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 6, John saw figuratively stand before Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 12, with the close of this work come the events after the judgment. When the judgment was over and the 1,000 years gone, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according unto their works, Revelation 20:13. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away, Revelation 21:2-4. Having descended with the saints who are to reign forever with him on the earth made new, Yahshua calls forth the wicked dead from their graves, while simultaneously a great voice out of the heaven is heard saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, Revelation 21 verse 3, whereas during the 1,000 years they have lived with him, Revelation 20 verse 4, whereupon Satan is loosed for a little season. Satan is loosed for a little season. By the resurrection of the wicked dead, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nation, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Concerning this little season in which Satan will be allowed to deceive the nation, the prophet Isaiah heard the Yahweh say, for behold, I'll create new heavens and a new earth. I'll create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more sense in infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his dreams. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, Isaiah 65:17-20. The reader will observe that when the Yahweh creates the new heavens and the new earth, then from the time that the wicked arise from their graves to the time that they are destroyed forever by the second death, the little season, there shall be no more offense among them an infant of days, no more births, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, no more deaths before man's days are fulfilled. For the child shall die an 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, both the old and the young, that is, those who remain in their graves during the millennium, will afterwards come forth together, each to live 100 years, the little season in which Satan will again deceive them. There will be neither death nor birth, but all the wicked will then be forever accursed by the second death. That portion of the new earth which the feet of the wicked have trodden and defiled during the short season will be purified by the fires coming down from Yahweh out of heaven and burning them and their works, while those who will inhabit the new earth for eternity will be shielded in and about the holy city. Revelation 21:2. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and the fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:9, 10, 14, and 15. Since not only Satan, but also whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The fire and the lake simply continues the same destruction wrought by the fire which comes down from Yahweh out of heaven. Verse 9. After 1,000 years, in other words, the fire which comes down from Yahweh out of heaven results in the lake of fire. Verse 10. And in eternal extermination of all sinners of this final destruction, a premillennial demonstration is to be given when the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, their grave for 1,000 years. And as the fire does not keep burning during 1,000 years, the statement, the devil was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Verse 10 shows, therefore, that there are both a typical and an antitypical destruction, the lake of fire before the millennium, and that is Revelation 19:20, a type of the one after the millennium. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, says the apostle, what manner of person are you to be? So the scriptures exhort that those in the truth be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Yahshua, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according unto his promise look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:11-14, and more so now while he is setting up his kingdom. Now he set up his kingdom right now with us. In that day when the Yahshua is about to make into the earth, he shall set his hand again the second time, says the prophet Isaiah, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be led from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:11-12. For the work of gatherings set forth in these scriptures shows that before the resurrection of the righteous, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and before the premillennial destruction of the nations, the Yahshuas that make up his kingdom, at first of the living saints only, as seen in the prophecy of Daniel 2, the stone being cut out of the mountain, verse 45, and being symbolical of the kingdom of Yahshua in its beginning, verse 44, then the mountain from which it is cut out must necessarily represent the church from which the first fruits of the kingdom, the 144,000, are gathered. And as the stone grows and becomes a great mountain, this is who we are, the house of David. Verse 35, after it is cut out, it obviously at first represents the kingdom in its infancy, for the first fruits only. As the facts also that the stone grows and fills the whole earth is another evidence in the proof that after this long looked for kingdom is set up, a great multitude is to join it. Were this not so, then the stone should not become a great mountain. It's being furthermore at first, but a very small part of the mountain shows that the kingdom has a very small beginning. Just as the Yahshua says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a grain of mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Matthew 13:31-32. For the mountain has the kingdom of the Yahweh clearly, then, is begun with the first fruits of the living, the 144,000, and followed by the second fruits of the living, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, and is completed with the first and second fruits of the dead, the 120, those who receive the Spirit on the day of the Pentecost, plus those who arose with the Yahshua, Matthew 27:52-53, plus the great multitude who accepted him after the Pentecost, Acts 5:14, plus all who awake to everlasting life in the resurrection of Daniel 12:2, plus the remaining dead of all ages who rise on the great resurrection day, Revelation 20:6, also those of Ezekiel 37:1-14. Going back to Daniel's prophecy, there we find the days in which the kingdom is set up. In the days of these kings, not after, but in the days of the kings who are symbolized by the feet and toes of the great enemy, shall the Elohim of heaven, says Daniel, calling attention unto the kingdom at its beginning, set up the kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but the kingdom shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. Thus we see that while the nations of our age, symbolized by the feet and toes of the great image of Daniel 2:41-42, are yet in the existence, Yahshua will set up the kingdom with which he will overthrow them. Then it shall be said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Savior, of our Yahweh, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever, Revelation 11:15. Pronouncing the doom of the ancient Israel, the prophet Hosea inscribed the solemn wit, for the children of the Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim, Hosea 3:4. At the same time, however, a promise was made that afterwards, after the many days, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua, their Savior, and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3:5. As the ancient David is in his grave, as the king here promised must be an antitypical David, just as the Elijah Malachi 4:5 must be an antitypical Elijah, otherwise in order for the fulfilling of the prophecies, ancient David must necessarily rise from his grave and ancient Elijah descend from the heaven. Daniel's declaration page 42, that with this antithetical kingdom, Yahshua will break the nation, and Jeremiah, a declaration in the ensuing paragraph, that it is his battle axe, clearly show the kingdom's retributory work. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, says the Yeshua unto Israel of today. Those who are to compose the infant kingdom, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdom, with thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. With thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:20-23. This scripture cannot be applied unto the Israel of Jeremiah's day, for she was then losing out rather than conquering. And from that day to this, she has had no kingdom of her own. It is obviously, therefore, the Israel of these last days, the kingdom through whose instrumentality Yahweh will bring this world to an end. This soon coming kingdom, being not like an earthly kingdom, but like a heavenly one, it confines, it shall be a place of perfect peace and absolute safety. Characterizing both the king and the kingdom to be established after the many days, the prophet Isaiah declared, with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall plow in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yeshua as the waters cover the sea, Isaiah 11:4-9. This prophesied era of absolute righteousness, peace, and knowledge of Yahweh in the kingdom, under the reign of the rod David and of the branch Yahshua must begin before the close of probation. For the scripture showed that the kingdom is set up rather than at the beginning of the millennium. For in that day, in the day that the kingdom is set up, and peace reign, a root of the Jesse, as the rod and the branch, shall stand for an instant of the people of the kingdom, says Isaiah. And unto this shall the Gentiles seek, Isaiah 11:10. And as after the close of probation, the doors of the kingdom will be shut unto all, the instant must therefore be set up before the probation closes. The only time of the Gentile will have a chance to be a conversion to Yeshua and unto his kingdom, a conclusion common unto the following scriptures. Also, O Judah, he has set in harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people, Hosea 6:11. So shall it come to pass that the mountain of Yeshua's house shall be established at the top of the mountain, shall be exalted by the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the house of Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3. Surely the hour shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Yahshua, thy Savior, or Yahweh thy Elohim, the Father, and unto the Holy One of Israel, that's Yahshua the Messiah, because he has glorified thee. Because that's when they bring their gold and silver, after he were glorified. And their sons, the strangers, shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the force of Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. For the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down to the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Isaiah 60, verse 9-15. In the day where the kingdom stands, their sin exists not. For lo, the day is come, saith the Yahweh, that I will bring again the captives of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Yeshua. And I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers. They shall possess it, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Yahweh, because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahweh, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving in the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Jeremiah 30, verse 3, 17-19. For I will take you from among the heathen to gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a work which can be done only in the probationary time. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36:24-27. At this nearing time, when the Yahshua's people who have been scattered will be gathered from among the heathen and brought into their own land, their hearts will be changed. And it will be said, in effect, Whosoever is born of Yahweh doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of Yahweh, 1 John 3:9. Then shall the law of sin now dominant in the natural heart no longer exist. Thus freed from the sin's tyranny, the stony heart shall be replaced with the heart of flesh, with the law of Yahweh inscribed upon it forever. The very fact that Yahweh is now to restore the kingdom of Israel gives rise unto the question as to whether he will not do so through the current effort of the Jews returning unto Jerusalem. In regard to the present activity in the old Jerusalem and of the return of the Jews to their homeland, as fulfilling the promises made unto the descendants of Jacob, we must not lose sight of the fact that the promises are not to find their fulfillment in returning unto the promised land of either the Jews who denied and crucified their Savior, or their descendants who in nearly 2,000 years have failed to accept him as their Savior, but rather in the Elohim bringing there those Jews who are Jews not only by the blood but also by the faith. For the promise therefore is unmistakably to the latter and to their descendants who compose the Christians, the apostolic congregation in its beginning, and of the Nazarene creed, and who were willing to die for rather than to deny their Savior. For the promise is not, in other words, to the unconverted represented first by the Ishmael and second by the Esau, rather it is to their younger brethren. The converted Jews, represented first by the Isaac and second by the Jacob. It is therefore unto those who have allowed the Yeshua to change their names from Jews, fleshly Israel, to the antitypical apostolic spiritual Israel. Just as Jacob, their forefathers, allowed Yahweh to change his name from Jacob to Israel, thus being by the natural birth the seed of Jacob and by the spiritual birth the seed of Yahshua, the truth, they are both sons of the Jacob and sons of Yahweh, and hence full-fledged Jews, Israelites indeed. I know the blasphemy, said the angel of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan, Revelation 2:9. Though the early apostolic congregation was made up purely of the Judah, those from Judah, yet as they began to be called believers, the new Jewish sect and the contradistinction, let's read that again. Though the early apostolic congregation was made up purely of the Judean, Judah, yet as they began to be called Christians, the new Jewish sect and the contradistinction to Jews, the old Jewish sect, they gradually lost their racial distinctiveness until finally they altogether ceased to be called Jews, whereas throughout the centuries the non-Christian Jews have preserved intact their racial identity. For it is written, writes Paul, figuratively identifying these two lines, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman, and her son, for the son of the bondwoman, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Galatians 4:22-31. Accordingly, since the 144,000 manifested cannot be made up of the Jews unconverted into Yeshua, we see that we must dig deeper in the identifying of the 144,000. They are the first fruits, Revelation 14:4. They are sealed in the time of peace while the four angels are holding the four winds, Revelation 7:1-3. They are not defiled with women, Revelation 14:4. They have in their mouths no guile, verse 5. Number five. They stand with the Lamb on the Mount Zion and follow him whithersoever he goeth. Verses 1 and 4. They have the Father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 1. Number seven. Following their seating, a great multitude of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, says the Revelator, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hand. Revelation 7:1-9. In the light of these seven facts, the identity and the mission of the 144,000 become certain. The mere fact in itself that they are first fruits does not give us the right to conclude that they were sealed during the earliest part of the human history. Indeed, there have been Israelites, descendants of the Jacobs, positively precludes their having been sealed in the time of either Adam to Noah or of Noah to Jacob before Israel was born. Neither could they have been sealed during the 3.5 years of Yahshua's personal ministry on earth. If that suggests itself as a possible time for Yahshua himself and all his followers at that time were persecuted, and many of them were put to death. Whereas during the sealing of the 144,000, the four winds, figurative of all the nations scattered to the four corners of the earth, are not permitted to blow, to hurt anything, Revelation 7:1. And as during the sealing period, the nations are restrained from obstructing, the sealing of the righteous and the four angels, Revelation 7:2, are commanded not to hurt the wicked. We see that the 144,000 are sealed in a time of peace, not though in a time of peace among the nations themselves, but rather in a time during which neither the nations are permitted to persecute the church, those who are being sealed, nor the angels permitted to hurt the wicked. This condition, however, being contrary to that which existed in the days of the apostles, when both the Romans and the Jews persecuted the Christians, and when Yahweh took the life of the Ananias and Sapphira and brought destruction upon Jerusalem. No one consequently can honestly conclude that the 144,000 are sealed at that time. Neither could they be, as some think, those who arose from their graves when Yahshua yielded up the Spirit. Matthew 27:50, 52, and 53. For besides the reasons already given, the angel came from the east, not to call them from their graves, but to seal them in their foreheads, Revelation 7:3-4. The Revelator, moreover, was told that the things about which he was to write were to be hereafter, Revelation 4:1, after 96 A.D., when he had the vision, and furthermore, the sealing of the 144,000 takes place in the period of the sixth seal, just prior to the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 6:12-17, Revelation 7:1-17, and Revelation 8:1, shortly before the end of all things. And still further, instead of being called firstborn, they are called first fruits. A designation will show that they are of the first fruits of the harvest. This brings a close to us at this time. Contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song.
Dusty Roses and the Feet by Elijah Davis. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads for you and me. Often cross, taken prone, careless burden all along, as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. Just golden street to a place, and this land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. Come the manger to the cross. With a golden stick to a place in Bethlehem, where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty road, sandal feet. Dusty Rose, his companion, desert places his abode. Sandal feet are often weary underneath a heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way. On the way to Mount Calvary and the desert day. Dusty Rose, sandal feet, oh, the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty rose and old feet. Dusty rose and old feet, how would you like to meet that man named Yashua? Coming down your street, would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah and own it to be? Dusty roads and no feet, oh, the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, dusty rose.